Begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language. You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Oh, yeah. I'm back.
Oh, yeah. We're all back. I'm Morgan Nicol. Back, my dickhead from the internet.
And I'm Dylan Reeve. Careful and considered.
So everything is going great, and it couldn't be better. And this week I'm having my typical shandy of sugar-free LMP and Spates Old Dark. What are you doing?
I'm drinking nothing.
So what's going on with you?
Well, look, I think we should get to the big news.
There is very big news this week, actually, yeah.
You almost certainly have heard already.
It was on Campbell tonight.
Yep. Discourse Incorporated has been placed in receivership.
Yep.
Now it's a fairly standard, it's, you know, just purely financial kind of situation. It's nothing that we're doing wrong. We're operating well, but we have massive debts, and we can't pay them. So we're in receivership. The company's going to be restructured. Everyone will still get paid. Most of our secured creditors will get paid. We're just going to fuck the tax department. But there's some exciting new changes coming once we come out of the restructure.
Do you get,
Morgan will tell
Dylan,
you about those.
Dylan, do you get paid?
Yeah. I pulled down like six figures from this, dude.
I mean, I've got a company credit card, and that's part of our debt problem. Because it turns out that some drug-dealing prostitutes will actually, they'll take credit. But I thought that was just a sneaky scam that I was running on the company. But I mean, if you're getting paid, I feel like I should be getting paid as well.
Well, I mean, if you're not, I'm sure there's a reason.
You know, I thought I had seniority, but I mean, I've even had my desk moved to the basement. And now you're up there in nosebleed territory, above the clouds practically.
Yeah, fuck, there's a great view from up here.
So there's not much from what I've been told. It sounds like you know a lot more than me about this.
So your company car, though, you get the company car, right? The Bentley?
I've got a hop card.
Right. And your company credit card, though, it's like an Amex Platinum, right?
God damn it!
So under the new restructure, our company will be bought up by a private equity group led by Cameron Slater. You may know him as Whale Oil. He's going to take up the sort of lead editor, the chief editor role. He'll be setting the tone of the podcast.
Can we get back to this credit card thing? Because I've got an NZ Post prepaid debit card, and I'm really... So when you asked what I had, does that mean that's what you have?
Have you got any stories to talk about? Let's talk about some news.
I can't believe this. I started this thing, and
so there's been some other receiverships. TV3's parent company MediaWorks is in receivership.
Are you trying to change the subject? I get the feeling that you're trying to change the subject. And what's this about Cameron Slater?
What? Did I say he's got some people together, and he's buying out our debt, buying out the Discourse Incorporated.
Well, I mean, obviously he's got a glorious history of success with media companies, hasn't he?
Oh, yes. Yes, he was the editor of The Truth, which is one of New Zealand's most decorated and historic newspapers, I guess.
It was around for 130 years, 3 months after he started.
6 months, wasn't it?
6 months of, well, who knows? I've never actually read the thing, but...
Yeah, no, I understand they're moving in a new direction as well.
You know, I think it's probably been a bad thing for him having a job, because before he got that job, wasn't he like out of work due to crippling mental illness for like 5 years? And his entire lifestyle and blogging media industry was funded by his insurance?
Yeah, and possibly, I'm sure he was on a sickness benefit for some point. Or for some length of time.
And now he's a beneficiary again.
I guess so. But, you know, you can advertise on New Zealand's best blog if you want. He's got a big thing at the top of his website. You can advertise there.
What kind of company car have you got?
It's nothing fancy. It's just a little Bentley sort of sedan. I mean, it's a lease. I mean, you know, it gets replaced every like 6 months, but
I have to take the bus to work.
Right.
They only give me $20 credit a week.
You know, I mean, I think it's just different deals. It's, you know, it's not really worth discussing. So,
six
fucking Edward Snowden's figures. In the media again.
I don't. I feel like we've got some stuff that we need. I feel like we've got some stuff that we really need to talk through. I wish we had the board here, but I mean, they haven't been returning my calls or emails for several weeks, and so now it turns out that there's a reason for that.
Yeah, you're not on the board anymore. Did you not know that?
Well, I hated going to the meetings because Hollywood Ben would always showboat.
Yeah, he's actually in the States on a venture capital round currently for the Discourse Media Empire.
I don't have any idea what's even going on. This is all news to me. Maybe we should have spoken about this off air.
Right. Well, I mean, I did send you a really thorough email.
Oh, I don't read
outlining email. All of this.
Who reads email? Like, I probably read the subject.
Well, you replied to that one that I sent just before it with the cat picture.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's not email, really, is it? It's sort of like an interactive Tumblr more than an email. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah.
So, news.
Yeah, I feel like I need some distracting.
And now the news.
Fairfax has shut down a couple of publications. There was Computer World and PC World and Reseller News, which no one really cared about if they weren't resellers.
I'm subscribed to Reseller News.
Are you?
Okay, yeah. Sorry, well, I very briefly played with the idea of starting a little business. And I even, you know, I had meetings with some suppliers and so on, and I was just like, you know what? I mean, after all of that, I worked out the numbers and I was like, you know, this could probably work. But then I was like, this seems like a lot of work. Like too much work. Like hustling? I'm not excited by hustling. I don't want to.
There was that period of time. I don't know if it's still happening, but there was a period of time maybe 8 to 10 years ago where it seemed like everyone was running a computer business, like selling parts. Like you got a price buy and there'd be just like 100,000 companies on there that all were operating out of a PO box in Swanson.
Do you remember iHug? A lot of people bought stuff through Scott.
No.
It might have been before your time, I'm not sure. I know you were there very early, but he may have been there even earlier still. He was the slightly sketchy guy. It's not right to call him sketchy. He was the guy that would ask questions when it was really obvious he knew the answer and he just wanted to correct you.
Oh yeah, I like people like that.
Yeah, you might.
I don't actually remember him, so I don't think I met him.
Yeah. Anyway, he had, I guess, a reseller account with, you know, someone. Not PB Tech, probably. I think they might not have even existed yet, but who knows? Might even have been Gamma.
Oh, that was the days when you had to be, like, if you were really connected, you had a reseller account with, what were they called? Ingram Micro, I think, was one of them.
That sounds familiar. Ingram Micro is still a very big player in reselling.
Oh, yeah, totally. But that was when you couldn't get good prices on stuff.
Yeah.
Like, there was, you know, like three importers rather than people like PB importing directly.
Yeah. The bad old days.
Yeah.
Price spike.
We actually paid, we used to pay a massive premium on computer hardware. We don't anymore. Like, computer hardware in New Zealand is, you know, pretty much the same price as it is anywhere else. Well, in the States.
It's pretty close. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's close. There's still some discrepancies, obviously. Stuff where...
Yeah, but I mean,
stuff
where, you know, we...
Yeah.
We get good deals. Like, PB Tech was selling 4 terabyte hard drives for $220 plus GST this week, which is, you know, highly competitive with anything in the States.
Wait, how much did I pay for my last one? $220? Surely
plus
not.
Just...
Let's see. My 4 terabyte... it's not in the email. I have to link through to a thing. Oh, I don't want to do it.
What are you gonna do?
At least it's pre-filled out my details. $258. That's how much I paid for my last one.
pretty good price.
Oh, that's not even including GST.
What are you doing with all those hard drives?
I'm filling them up with audio files from making podcasts. Very, very highly successful ones that are never awkward.
Well, that's lucky.
And where their audio production quality is par excellence.
It could be nothing less.
Never. So this week I tried to fix the crackly channel issue that the live stream listeners experience, that the podcast people are like, who cares? It's clean on the podcast. And I'm like, yeah, I kind of agree with you because it's clean for me as well. So kind of who cares about those guys? But that just involved ruining it really for everyone.
Breaking everything.
Broke everything. Every time I make any change, everything breaks. Everything breaks.
Disgraceful.
It is a disgrace. I bet, like, if I push this button, see, this is the simplest change I can make. I push this button, probably, I don't even know what just blew up. Something in the background probably just blew up. Probably a small fire is about to start inside the mixing console. I'm going to unpush that button. I'm going to push a different button, just see what happens. I don't even know what's happening right now.
What are you doing?
I don't know what it did. I pushed a button and it's broken. But I'm not aware it's broken until the live stream people tell me. So I'm going to unpush that and, you know, they'll say, hey, it's back now. And I'll be like, cool. Cool. Good. So yeah, cool story, bro. So I tried really hard to fix the audio crackling problem. And I would say that my success at that has not yet been fully realized.
I think it's safe to say that the live stream makes the whole podcast thing more complicated.
It's a great deal more complicated.
But we do it because we care.
Is that why we do it?
No, it's because we earn a shitload of money in advertising revenue off the live stream.
Advertising?
No, sorry, it's because we care.
Discord.co.nz/VPN. It's surprisingly inexpensive. It's the closest thing we've ever had to an ad.
If I mention that Snap Internet just joined the chat room, do you think they'll pay us?
Do you think they'll give us faster internet?
Like if we just mention that now,
Snap Internet,
can we send them an invoice?
Snap Internet, I've heard nothing bad about them.
No, nothing.
Trademark registered.
Snap Internet, probably not as shit as some of the others.
Snap Internet, they take it much more seriously than Orcon because Orcon have now been sold to people who don't actually know anything about the internet.
That's going to be difficult. Quite a small font to get that along the bottom.
Yeah, it's not really my problem.
Okay.
We've got designers to sort that stuff out. See, listen, here it's official from the chat room. Snap are good.
There you go.
As far as I know, that person works at Snap Internet, but maybe they don't.
Who knows? I wanted to change to Snap. My problem is that at the moment I have a ridiculous Netflix habit, which is using 350 to 400 gigs a month.
Good Lord, man. That's a lot of gigs.
That is many gigs.
Wait, is it gigs or is it jigs?
Don't start with me on that shit.
Yeah.
It's a GIF also, by the way.
All right.
I don't care what the guy who invented it says.
Is it like 1.21 gigabytes?
Yes, gigabytes. Isn't it gibbybytes and gigabytes?
I think that's a different sort. That's if there's like 1 million or 1 billion of them rather.
But gigabytes, like they redefined all the normal terms, like megabytes is 1,000 bytes.
It's 1,024, fuckers.
No, it's not. That's a mibibyte.
Who did this? I bet they were French.
The International Standards Organization, whatever they're called, the ISO.
What would those guys know about measuring things?
They just make shit up.
Was this for the hard drive manufacturers?
Yes. Yes, it was.
They make me angry, those hard drive manufacturers.
Terabyte is 1,000 gigabytes.
They have one little flood, and they can't stop screwing us.
So it's MIBI because the BI indicates the binary part of it, you know, the powers of two rather than the powers of 10. So that's why it's MIBI and Gibby and Tibby, I think.
You know, honestly, it's probably better that way because mega has a particular meaning, and we didn't really use it right, did we?
Well, it's kind of got close enough.
Close enough, but very specifically different. Very strangely and specifically different. I was going to look something up. Oh, yeah, I was going to look up my Orcon usage. Would that be interesting? I bet that would be really interesting for people, and they absolutely can't wait.
They can't.
Absolutely. They literally can't wait. But they'll have to wait because my Orcon internet is so slow
15
that
minutes.
The Orcon homepage still hasn't finished reloading.
Wow, that is rough.
Not happy, actually. I used to be an extremely happy punter. And now if I want to watch YouTube, I have to put it down at like 380 or whatever the...
Really, mine works fine.
Are you sure, though?
I'm on the loser plan.
Are you sure?
You know, I watch Netflix all the goddamn time, right?
See, even my streaming from YouTube doesn't even work anymore on Orcon. I'm extraordinarily unhappy.
No, in fact, not only do I watch... Like, I can be watching Netflix and Melanie can be streaming something else on Hulu at the same time. No problem.
Listen, Orcon, you motherfuckers.
Hey, my predicted data usage at the current rate is 370 gigs.
My predicted usage is a big white page that still hasn't loaded.
Right, sorry, shall I just do... Let's go... I'm just going to... While we're talking about completely irrelevant things that no one else can enjoy, I'll quickly pop up a YouTube video.
I'll drink to that.
What should we look at? Canadian lasagna.
Did you say punched lasagna?
I did not say punched lasagna. And we'll load it in 1080p.
Discourse Weekly Show, Urban Dictionary.
Word of the week.
Word of the week. Punched lasagna.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look it up. And if you do look it up, don't complain to me because I didn't create that word.
Okay, so a friend of mine on Facebook had his profile picture changed to Goatsy.
Yeah.
And I mentioned this.
That's not cool. That's not cool.
It's not cool. I mentioned this on Twitter, and unfortunately, I didn't realize, of course, someone on Twitter who follows me didn't know what Goatsy was and Googled it. By the way, if you're listening to this, don't Google Goatsy.
Don't.
Okay, let's just have a look. Here we go. I am watching a 3-minute video. Just click to play. It's playing fine.
Put it on 1080p. And then
it's 1080p.
God damn it. So my hunch then is that they've fucked those of us who stayed on the pay per usage pool, and they've moved all of that data over to you dickheads who went over to the flat rate, and we can get fucked. Does that approximate what you would expect as well?
I don't know, but then I've heard conflicting reports because someone else I know on the unlimited plan saying it's shit.
Right.
And I tried to torrent something yesterday for the first time in ages, and it was shit. But I could at the same time watch 1080p YouTube videos. I don't understand.
I've started Firefox and it's making me angry. I dislike Firefox so much. It's got all these annoying pop-ups and it behaves slightly differently. Keeps asking me if I want to save a password. Never. How about never? How about never? How about that? So my predicted use at the current rate is 95 gigabytes. Sorry, gigabytes. Jibby bytes.
Internet harder, bro.
I mean, I feel like our internet pretty hard. I mean, I feel like our internet is as hard or harder than most people. But, I mean, I don't exactly stream two different HD television stations simultaneously.
It possibly also helps that, of course, we have like a a family at home during the day who watch all sorts of kids' shows on the Netflix.
Oh, sure, it's the kids.
Yes.
Sure it is. So news I discovered this week.
And now the news.
And this is absolutely amazing. Gene Wilder is alive.
That is kind of amazing.
I was sure when I saw this story, it said Wonka remake and insult. And I was like, huh, to who? And I opened it up and there's 80-year-old Gene Wilder who's like not dead. I thought he died like 13 years ago.
What does he look like?
He looks like old Gene Wilder with kind of thin-looking hair and a powder blue hoodie.
Because he always had thin-looking hair.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I don't understand how he's alive. I mean, I'm not saying I think he should be dead. I was sure that he was. That's all. I'm not like trying to be harsh.
You know who's not dead, who should be dead? Not that he should be dead, but apparently he's supposed to have died.
Yeah.
Chopper.
Chopper Reed.
Yeah, he's had, like, what is it, sclerosis of the liver?
Yeah.
And liver cancer. He's been given at various times as little as 6 weeks to live.
And he keeps defeating it, does he?
He keeps defeating it.
What's his cancer?
He had liver cancer. He said the main tumor's removed and says he's fine, but apparently hasn't gone back to the doctor for an update.
Right. Chopper, cancer.
He was told he needed a liver transplant, but refused to ask for one, basically refused to join the waiting list.
Huh. From April 27th, 2012, from theage.com.au, cancer-stricken Chopper has weeks to live.
There you go, see? He's still alive.
Good for him.
Yep, because nothing can kill Batman.
Good for him. I don't know that... I mean, he's not a good person, and something can kill him. He is vulnerable like all humans, but I'm not in favour of anyone dying of cancer. So
he's an interesting person.
You know, there are ways to be interesting and ways to not be interesting. Yes, Dylan?
Uh-oh.
Terry Teo. Uh-oh. Terry Teo.
I was having an interesting discussion with a friend of mine today.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, what are you up to? And he said, oh, we're working on developing a new series of Terry Teo.
Is this a secret?
I don't think this part is.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't think anything he told me is.
Yeah. But you don't, but you're not sure. It was told to you in confidence.
Fine.
Were you in a Turkish bathhouse? Were you both on opium?
Well, not more than usual.
Yeah.
Anyway, so apparently 2 years ago, he and his sort of producing partner bought the rights, the TV rights to Terry Teo.
Yeah.
Which is Terry and Gunrunners.
Yeah.
And they've recently started development, and there's I believe, a fairly good chance that it'll end up on our screens at some point.
It will be terrible.
Well, they made the Jackie Brown Diaries, which I thought was very good.
All right, Jackie Brown was pretty good, but that's probably because Jackie Brown is pretty good. I'm trying to see if I can find the Terry Teo opening credits, but it turns out it's
on screen. The whole first episode is there.
Does it include those
two episodes?
Does it include the opening?
Yeah, it does.
Titles. All right, I want to hear it. I want to hear how much it actually is. How closely it matches my memory of it.
Was there two?
But it turns out my internet's not very good. Did I mention that? It's not loading.
No, you didn't mention that.
Orcon, please. Maybe you should get in touch, Orcon, and sort out my internet.
Was there an animated one as well? Or was it the same thing?
I don't know. I remember that the bad guy who always smoked the cigar was not a smoker, and so they gave him like a... Right, and meanwhile, my NZ on screen still hasn't even loaded the embed.
Yeah, my whole first episode has finished spooling.
I'm so furious right now.
So your internet's not going well. You should definitely call Orcon about that.
And what will they do?
They will... I don't know.
I predict they would do approximately nothing. All right, let's ignore my internet and we can try and talk about things from news from the internet that hopefully has been preloaded. And God, if I have to reload any of these tabs, basically it's all over. I'm so not happy about this.
No, I got that. It's just maybe it's because the discourse company stopped paying your internet bills.
Do they pay your internet bill?
Of course.
The rage just piles on top of the anger, piles on top of the disappointment.
I mean, Discourse Incorporated is like a multi-million-dollar company. Of course they pay my internet bills.
I don't understand how this has got so out of my control.
Oh, do you not remember signing everything over?
Listen, anyway, this show for me basically involves drinking quite heavily, all right? So, I mean, and there are lawyers around often. You know, we talk to them on the show. Strangely, most of those ones that I assume are interviews, they don't get uploaded.
No, they're often talking about, you know, the legal structure of discourse.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I thought that was interesting. I thought that the listeners would be into that. But I actually, if I could load the website, I'd be able to check if they'd been put up. But I think they haven't.
I wouldn't bother.
So I would like to play Miss Utah, Miss Utah's barely coherent answer to a beauty pageant question, but I assume that my stream doesn't work. I think it's safe just to assume that now. Nothing is going to work. If I try and play it, it just won't work. Because Orcon, I'm not happy right now. I'm not happy. I'm not going to put a brave face on it. Mm-mm. I'm going to see if this plays. Let's see if this plays. Yep.
This bit's not awkward.
This isn't awkward at all. Hey, Orcon. Hey, I've got an idea. How about you have good internet? How about that for an idea?
Let's be fair. It could be coarse. Heavy rain in your area recently may have, you know, waterlogged the phone lines.
You know, I'm really dubious about that. I can't imagine any internet company actually wanting me as a customer because I'm such a squeaky wheel.
You're moderately squeaky.
But, you know, if you don't want any wheels to be squeaking, grease them. I couldn't actually watch the whole of the Miss Utah...
Grease Morgan.
I couldn't watch the whole of the Miss Utah answer. I stopped because it was so terrible. I was so sad.
I'd be able to load it, but I can't play the audio directly into the thing, so it'll sound crap.
This is ruining everything. Orcon, you're ruining everything.
Yeah.
If only this woman, Liz, from Christchurch, if only she'd had Orcon, because if she had, she wouldn't have been ripped off $160,000 from an online dating scam because she wouldn't have been able to load the page. So in a sense, Orcon are helping people. I need to. I need to correct my attitude. I need to be. Yep. I need to. I need to cheer up. But having bad internet makes me unhappy.
Yeah, look, I'll do this. It's not going to sound great, but you know, see what we can come up with.
Percent of American families with children, women are the primary earners. Yet they continue to earn less than men. What does this say about society?
I think we can relate this back to education and how we are continuing to try to strive to figure out how to create jobs right now. That is the biggest problem. And I think especially the men are seen as the leaders of this. And so we need to try to figure out how to create education better so that we can solve this problem. Thank you.
Thank you, Utah. Thank you, sweetheart.
Very awkward because what she said had nothing to do with the question, really. And what she could have said was, I'm really proud that women have become the breadwinners in so many families, but the income disparity is a problem that we still need to work to solve. That would have been that would have been a perfectly adequate answer, wouldn't it?
I think you're perhaps overestimating these people. But not all of them. There are probably some incredibly smart Miss World contestants.
Yeah.
I just don't think she was one of them.
No. Maybe she was just having an adrenaline dump moment or something. Maybe she'd had too much coffee. Once upon a time, I was going into an exam all the way back when I was doing my thing. And I can't even remember what it was. It was some fucking business paper, some exam for some business course. I had those Mountain Dew Big Gulp things. They weren't called Big Gulps. The 1 liter bottles.
1 liter bottles.
They'd sort of just recently come out. And I had one of them with my lunch. I can't remember what I had for lunch. Probably some sort of terrible potato wedges with chili sauce on them because, you know, tertiary education seems to have terrible food in it. And I went to this exam and the questions were all things that I was familiar with, but I couldn't think of anything. Like my memory was all gone to caffeine. Like I'm not sure if I answered any questions.
30 minutes.
And every question I read was like, oh yeah, this all seems pretty clear. You know, I'm pretty sure I remember covering this, but none of it could come back.
Yeah, I've never done a tertiary exam. Not in the proper sense.
Didn't you like drop out of high school in the third form or something? Have you ever something done like any exam of any kind?
A couple of school C and whatever it was called, sixth form certificate.
Yeah.
Exams, but not really ones like, no. I don't have any actual qualifications.
You know, not something high school anyway. So in school we have let's just pretend that I set up some segues and didn't ruin it by drawing your attention to it.
Okay, so we should just forget that thing you just said right then.
Yeah, exactly. So from okay. The Herald from last Monday, yesterday, last Monday when this comes
from
out.
From the Herald recently.
From recently in the Herald, sex report slams Kiwi lessons about sex education. They say that it's promoting sexual behaviour among young people, but not showing them all the risks, says this report. The schools, of course, all say bullshit. They fucking do show the risks. And, I mean, I don't know what the sex education is like now, but I know what the sex education was like when I was at high school, and they spoke about all kinds of stuff pretty freely and pretty comfortably. You know,
I'm pretty sure the risks were highlighted
very clearly, and they spoke
to the extent that I still remember in sex ed being left with the impression that spilling one's seed on, say, a girl's leg could result in pregnancy.
I mean, it could.
Yeah.
It could. It's possible. But there'd have to be a lot of intent behind it ever actually happening. I mean, yeah, it'd have to be...
Things don't actually fucking crawl.
No, they don't crawl. They are fragile. But it would be possible to take that
seed. Yeah, totally. But that wasn't the there was an anecdote that was about some boy, and they were, you know, rubbing themselves on each other, and he ejaculated upon her thigh, and then lo and behold, she became pregnant.
You say anecdote, I say lie.
I think lie is more. I mean, the question is where did the lie begin? Was the sex ed teacher lying to us, or did the girl lie to her parents?
Yeah.
I don't know. He just jizzed on my leg, Mum.
I just gave him a hand job on my leg. That's all.
Hmm.
Bullshit.
I'm bullshit, pretty sure we were told that you couldn't get pregnant in a public pool, though.
It's because of the chlorine, isn't it?
Yeah.
But there's a lot of sperm in the pool, but it's dead.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
It's dead, though. So as well as the sex education lessons, which I actually suspect are perfectly adequate, and what's the problem with promoting sexual behaviour? Sex is awesome. Sex is really fun. If you do it right, it's really fun. And that's why people like doing it so much, because it just makes you feel good.
I was gonna say there's like it you shouldn't take it lightly.
Why not?
But I don't know that you can't really teach that.
Why shouldn't you take it lightly?
No, but I mean, you know, sometimes people find that they have emotional issues. But then the issue is...
Well, they're not taking it lightly then, are they?
No, but they take sex lightly and then find that they feel emotional. But the thing is, you can't teach people that, and it's not a universal thing.
No, there are very few universal things about kind of human emotion. You should take it as lightly as your disposition allows. I mean, if you are a very serious person who is quick to form attachments, then I don't think you should sleep around.
Yeah, I mean, you need to understand the risks, emotional and physical, and then figure out what the hell you want to do about it.
I think a lot of those emotional risks are actually programmed into us by motherfuckers who hate women and don't want them to be happy.
Yeah, sure. But at the same time, it's...
That's programmed into us by people who say that you know, girls who like to have sex with more than one person are sluts.
Yeah, that is...
Which is bullshit. Horrible. Which is bullshit. Girls who like to have sex with more than one person, all you can say about them is that they like to have sex with more than one person.
Yes.
And, you know, the classic thing, and it's true, is that boys don't tend to get called sluts for liking to have sex with more than one person. I don't mean at once, you know, necessarily. I mean at all, right? Some people think that you should have sex only within the confines of a marriage and with just that one person. And then if they die, that's pretty much it. You can wear dark clothing until you die as well, right? And you better not have sex before you get married. God damn you. You better not. God damn you, you better not, or you're going to burn in hell. It always tends to be quite religious people as well.
Did the report make any recommendations?
The recommendation is from Family First, so who gives a fuck?
What is the recommendation?
I don't know. I can't be bothered to read any further. They probably said something about you should be in a marriage.
I think I'm pretty sure that monogamy was promoted. Well, not monogamy, but
every time abstinence is promoted, pregnancy rates go up and STD rates go up.
No, I'm pretty sure in sex ed when I was in school, abstinence was promoted.
I can remember. The boys were separated off. We were separated off into a group with no girls, and we met a bunch of guys who spoke about how it was okay to be a virgin, and one of them was still a virgin, and he was about 30.
Yeah, I think that was something. We had something similar. The deal was that, you know, you don't have to rush and have sex, but if you want to have sex, you need to know these things.
You don't have to. I think that for teenagers in particular, there are a lot of lessons that older people like us want to teach them without them learning them themselves. But it's easy for us to forget that we didn't listen to our parents. We didn't learn those lessons from other people. We made those mistakes, and we are all ourselves. You know, I'm not particularly damaged. You don't appear to be particularly damaged. No one I know is damaged. Particularly damaged. You know, you get through, all right? And maybe you have sex with someone who you're like, oh, I really shouldn't have hooked up with her.
Shouldn't have gone back again.
And now every time
oh my god, why do I keep calling
every
you?
Time yeah, and it was phone calls back in the day, of course. And then later on it's like, God, I'm sending her a letter every time she sends me a letter, and this is weird, and we don't even live in the same city, and we just see each other in the holidays, and I kind of regret the whole thing, but I'm gonna keep sending these letters because I'm a 15 or 16 year old boy, and I don't know any better. Just let them make mistakes. Tell them all you want to about how to be safer, but I just don't know that you actually can. I don't know that it even serves a purpose to tell people how to behave. You know, present people with options, but don't say, this is the one way that you should be. Because no, I think some people, they should naturally be sucking a lot of cocks, you know, whatever gender they are of. I think some people naturally should be getting spit roasted. They are never happier. They're never happier than when they're well filled.
You just need to tell them what
and some people,
the actual real risks are and what they should do about them. It's like, you know, you tell people to wear a seatbelt in a car.
That's right. And some people
not to drive because they might crash.
There are people around who are asexual, and no one should give them any shit about it ever. You choose what you want to do. And people like Family First, telling anyone how to behave, it's not all right. Because those kind of right-wing Christian motherfuckers, those old white men, they always turn out to be gay. They're all homophobic until it turns out that they have a young male prostitute on the side that they meet in public toilets regularly, or that they keep an apartment for. Obviously, it's not 100% of the time, but it seems to happen an awful lot.
Well, I'm just reading the article, and down near the end, the report's release follows recent publicity about an 11-year-old Auckland boy who fathered a child after having sex with his best friend's 36-year-old mother. I believe
that there was a 30-something-year-old person involved there who maybe should have been making the decisions, not an 11-year-old.
Yeah, it's not that the 11-year-old wasn't taught, it's that the 36-year-old took advantage of him in a criminal way.
Yep, that's child abuse.
That's not even relevant. Who wrote that? That's terrible. Why is that there?
And something, this is, you know, changing tack a little bit. No, it shouldn't be there. Changing tack a little bit.
That paragraph shouldn't be there.
No, it's talking about statutory rape.
The release was followed, you know, this report was released just a week after some 15-year-old girl was raped by her teacher. Like, that's...
Here, how about this for sex education, young Sally?
Anyway, moving on.
So I think that another class that should be added, probably in social studies, is Scams 101, how to spot them and how to be immune to them. Because they're all really fucking obvious and they almost all use just one of a handful of mechanisms. And as soon as you know what they are, you can see them from a goddamn mile away.
You don't even need to know what they are. You just need to be able to exercise common sense. That's like as far as I can tell.
Dylan, that's not working.
But I've never fallen victim to a scam and I don't know specifically what the methods are. I just look at something and go, well, that looks like a fucking scam.
That's right, and I feel the same way, but I do know how many of them work. But we are not average, right?
We're super fucking intelligent.
We are above average intelligent. I wouldn't say that you are necessarily super fucking intelligent. You know, moderately. I mean, it's not like you're a genius level motherfucker or whatever, are you? You know?
Really? You want to go there?
Just about. I mean, yeah. I'm prepared to go there. I'm prepared. I have my results sheet, and I'm very happy with it. And it's all clear, 100% negative. Is that?
I think it's a different test.
Oh, okay. So I mean, this thing that I mentioned before, this Christchurch woman who was taken for $160,000 in an online dating scam. Being 60 years old, you know, any kind of course that we added into schools now, it wouldn't work for her. But then in, you know, 37 years, all those currently 13-year-olds, they would be immune. All right, that would have made
it. All right, how about 50, just a basic 47 critical years. Thinking course?
Critical thinking.
Because stop. Wait.
Yeah.
Scams and also those fucking copy-paste and share this Facebook status is about some kid somewhere with cancer or some other bullshit thing that you realize is bullshit if you like simply Google even the simplest phrase from it.
Yeah.
Like that's all that's needed. If you yes and just no. Teach people to say stop and think about this thing that's coming to you from the internet and just like go, wait a second, does this look a bit weird? Should I just, you know, just do a quick Google search on something from it? Because that'll work for scams, and that'll work for those ridiculous things people forward and share endlessly. I call it internet critical thinking.
All right, well, I mean, that's half of the problem. But critical thinking, I mean, probably it is something that you can teach. But it's easier probably to show people the shape of a scam and saying, look, this is what it looks like.
What if the shape of a scam changes, though?
Well, it doesn't. There's very few ways that they can work, and that's why it's so easy to spot them.
Yeah, but then they can change enough that you might not recognize the pattern. If you don't have the critical thinking ability to look at it and go, wait a second, I see this is kind of like this other thing, but a little bit different.
I think critical thinking might be taught in schools anyway.
No, yeah, well, not the right sort.
Well, maybe not. But what I'm saying is that scams are something that happens, and the shape is obvious. Even to someone who's stupid, once they're shown that they're yellow and square, every time they see a yellow square, they'll know it's a scam. And so you can have your more complicated course if you like. But I mean, I'm talking about having it as part of social studies or something.
You're giving a man a yellow square fish.
I'm teaching a man that some fish are not safe to eat.
No, I can't match that. I don't know how to match that metaphor.
You know what? Something amazing happened. Somewhere in the world. Sometime. In Wellington, charity boxes may replace beggars. Fat chance, Wellington, but good luck. And North Korea wants to talk peace. That's a good result, isn't it?
And I really fucking hope the US is like, okay, let's actually sit down and talk about this instead of, like, some bullshit, like, we'll only talk to you if you do this thing immediately.
Yeah.
Like, let's just throw away all the bullshit and just talk and see if we can figure it out from there.
Yeah. So I think
North
part
Korea
of this
is basically crazy.
Part of this is something that just played in the last episode of the Vice TV show. Where's the button? Hey, button!
What's your auntie been talking about?
Vice! Don't forget to rewind
the
tape.
What, skating magazine it was originally or something?
It was never a skating magazine.
The magazine about stuff?
Yes. So they have another TV series and they call it a news show, but it's kind of sort of hipstery short documentaries. And the most recent thing that they aired, now a few weeks ago, maybe a couple of months ago, that basketballer, what's his name?
Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman visited North Korea, right?
Yes.
And he was like, this is my man, Kim Jong-un, right? And we're going to be friends forever. And I was like, that's a bit weird. I wonder why he was there. The reason he was there was that Vice took him there and some Harlem Globetrotters, and they played several exhibition games. And this was their way of getting their cameras into the country and being able to kind of travel around and talk to real people. And it was kind of during that and immediately after that that relations thawed. And that show includes the filmmakers meeting and shaking hands with and schmoozing and drinking wine with Kim Jong-un.
Awesome.
It is awesome. It's brilliant. And if that made the difference for this, you know, weird little country, if that has kind of cracked the ice, then result. That's amazing. And also, I think you should watch The Vice Show. It's got some disturbing shit in it. I had managed successfully to avoid ever seeing like a human severed head from a suicide bombing right until I saw that in the show. I didn't like that. That was a shock. Or people carrying around hands after bombings.
Yeah, and The Vice magazine was always a bit confronting.
It's very confronting.
That the documentaries can be as well.
It's in context. And that was only in one episode, and there's never been anything quite like that. They definitely have balls. These dudes are go-to. I mean, a lot of documentary filmmakers and a lot of journalists, of course, have amazing balls, right? Like, I would not go into, you know, some of these war-strawn, these conflict areas. And they go there and they, like, go and find the baddest motherfucker in the town, and they talk shit to him. And they, like, ask difficult questions. And I'm like, you are a bad motherfucker. You're balls. I don't even know how you walk around. And they're like that. It's amazing. It's a great show. And you should watch it. But maybe if you're of a fragile disposition or if you definitely don't want to see a decapitated human, look up the description of the episode before you watch it. It only happened in one episode, and I can't remember. It was like episode 2 or something. It's been about 10.
One that presumably involved something about
terrorism.
Bombing. Terrorism.
Yeah, presumably. So... like Chrome is completely detonated for me. I can read headlines.
Great, you read headlines and I'll try and imagine what the stories are.
So there was you are just at the top of your game from the Herald.
No idea. That's an article about me specifically.
This is actually about steroids.
Oh.
And this is one of those stories of a person who used them and really enjoyed using them. And he said that he did suffer a couple of bouts of what is commonly called roid rage, but he recognized it when it was happening. And so he was able to sort of head it off at the pass. He also said that if you drank while using the steroids, that made it all kind of worse. And so he didn't do that. So he didn't drink while using the steroids. And he said it was wonderful. He said it made him feel excellent and it made him strong and it made him really great at the gym and people said he looked good. And that was his steroids experience. And this is the same thing that most people have with drugs. And like I said before, the same thing that most people have with sex. People do drugs because drugs are really fun. And people do steroids because they make you fucking strong as a motherfucker. They make you a Herculean goddamn Amazon. If you're a woman and also a man. And that's something steroids can do for you as well, actually, apparently. And that's why people do it. And so, you know, maybe instead of saying, you can't do that, don't do that. Instead, maybe you could say, here's a safer way to do that. Maybe that's an option. I don't know. Chrome has completely exploded. How about this for a headline? See if you can tell me what was going on. Father guilty of a machete attack on daughter.
Father attacked his daughter with a machete?
Yes. She told him he shouldn't have any more wine.
Fuck. She deserved everything she got, clearly.
She sure did. How about this one?
I hope she wasn't, like, terribly, terribly, horribly injured, because I feel really bad for saying that. I mean, I.
Oh, this one's fucking brilliant. How about this one? This is about a kid. Oh, I hate him so much. I've never met him. Bullied boy fights back.
Oh, yeah.
What do you think that one's about?
It's about a bullied boy fighting back. What did he do?
He's a bully. That's what he did. And the story is bullshit. They talk about how he's like punching other others of his classmates in the head and putting other kids in headlocks, and they're saying that he's being bullied. He is the bully.
Well, I don't understand. What,
like... And one time, it sounds like several of them sort of ganged up on him, these kids that presumably he's been bullying, and he responded by trying to strangle himself with a skipping rope. He's a mentally deranged little shit.
I'm sorry to say I did not see that because it sounds quite amazing.
It'll be in the show notes, assuming Chrome ever comes back so I can get the URLs. How about this story? Brits won't spy on me, Key says.
Oh, because he's going to Britain for some sort of like leaders thing, and they spied on the whole of people at the G20?
They certainly did. They spied even on some of their allies. So they fucking well will spy on Key.
Yeah, that'd be really bored, though.
All right, next story. Sisters sue dad to reclaim $20,000 pocket money.
I totally read the headline. And that's all.
And he is such a fucking turd. So they worked with their grandparents in their grandparents' business for several years when they were aged like 9, 10, 11, 12 years old. And one of them managed to earn like $12,000 and the other one earned like $11,000, which is amazing for little kids. It's absolutely brilliant. And they managed to save it all, but their father had access to it. And he spent it. And some of it he spent on gifts for them, and some of it he spent on holidays. And he reckons that it was just fine that he did that. And a judge disagreed and said that he'd better fucking well pay it back. And he has never quite understood, clearly, from the quotes from the guy, which unfortunately I can't load because my internet's no good. The quotes from the guy make it clear that he just doesn't understand. These girls, their grandparents got custody of them, so they don't have to live with this fucking tool.
All right.
What a prick, though.
So I was thinking it's going to be like for a fucking awkward family, you know, relationship.
Yeah.
The suing thing, but if they're not already living.
No, they're not going to. I don't think they're just going to have any relationship with them. All right. Microsoft.
Now, when I was eight, nine, maybe.
Yeah.
I got like $1 a week pocket money.
Right. So it'd take you a long time to save up $11,000.
Sure, but my
it?
Father said, I can give you the dollar now, or if you let me keep it, then next week I'll give you $2.
But wait a minute, the next week you'd get $2 anyway.
No, but like another two, like I'd double it.
He'll either give you $1 now and $1 next week, or he'll give you $3 next week.
$3 next week. So basically, he'd double the amount that I didn't take.
Yeah.
That was the theory I understood. So basically, over a relatively short period of time, because this rolled over, so like if I didn't take the $3 the next week, then he'd add $6 to it.
Right.
To make $9. Then if I didn't have the $9, he'd add $18 to add $27. And then if I didn't take the $27, he'd add $54. And I can't stop being able to do the maths.
Yeah.
Anyway, I dutifully, as a 9 or 10 year old, well, I think it was, kept track of all of this. And at the end of it, he's like, okay, well, it's enough now. I was like, okay, well, you owe me like $1,200 or something. Whatever it was. Like, no.
Here's your $8, son.
Because I remember telling my friends at school, like, oh, I'm going to get all this money, I'm going to buy a boat. I actually was going to buy a boat.
Yeah, because you were a little beach bum, weren't you?
Yeah, and I was totally going to buy a boat.
Yeah.
Because I figured that with that amount of money, I could buy a boat.
You could have got one of those little cats, probably.
It probably would have been a little optimist or something.
Right.
But it never happened.
I think you should sue your father.
Yeah.
But don't sue him for the money.
Childhood positions.
Don't sue him for the money. Sue him for the boat.
For the boat? Fuck yes.
I reckon.
Yeah.
I mean, an optimist is probably worth less now than it was then, but...
He's got a kayak. I could just take his kayak.
Would you do a lot of kayaking?
No, but then he wouldn't have it, and I would.
Ah, that's capitalism. Microsoft, speaking of capitalism, Microsoft to indie developers, you have to have a publisher. And tell me what's going on with these stories. Microsoft's Don Maddock defends Xbox pricing. And thirdly, a story I haven't got here, Microsoft to gamers, fuck you. So tell me what's going
Microsoft
on with those stories.
Really going nuts on the old Xbox One thing, aren't they?
Yep. Yep. As the chat room says, it's the X bone, and the person getting boned is you, and it's not in a kind of a fun way.
So there are, what are those? You can't play games if you don't have an internet connection. It's an always on internet connection.
You can, but you have to connect at least once a day.
Yeah. What else?
You can't share your games.
You can't share your games. Can't sell your games. If you're
In the wrong country, you can't buy games from other countries.
All right. Your Xbox Live account, if it's suspended, you lose all the games you've bought.
Every single game.
If it's banned.
Yep.
Even games you bought like on disc in shops that you've had to activate online for the license, can't play them anymore.
Yep.
What else?
If you've got an Xbone and you travel with it, then you can't play outside your country or outside your region. And Europe is not divided into Europe is not Europe. Europe is multiple regions, and some of those countries are quite small.
Yeah, so, and PS4, on the other hand, you can buy games and play them.
Yep, and you can give a disc to a friend and they can play it. And you can sell a disc and they can play it. Now, this is with Sony games, and they've said that it's possible for some other publishers to implement different kinds of DRM. But the point is that Sony are sending a message, and they'd set the scheme up before, as far as I can tell, and they say before they knew what Microsoft were going to do. So it's not like they've changed their plans just to one-up Microsoft. They just have a different approach, and I think a much better approach. And I think this has absolutely, and I think finally, and possibly irredeemably, turned me against Microsoft. I've been I wouldn't say fan, but I am a very happy Windows 7 user, and I was a very happy Windows Vista user, and I was a very happy Windows XP user, I was a very happy Windows 2000 and Windows NT4 user, and I think, I mean, it's possible that that's it. I might not go further with Microsoft, just because they are acting like a bunch of fucking tools.
It's an interesting, because this is maybe the most obvious the DRM thing has ever come. Like, because we're talking, you know, console gaming now. This is, everyone does this.
Yeah.
It's not like just a bunch of computer nerds complaining about their games that they play on their PC workstations that they've built.
Yeah.
This is console gaming. And this is the most obvious example I can think of anywhere of the consumer being treated as a criminal.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we've always kind of had it with unskippable ads on DVDs and things, but this is extreme.
Yeah. And the thing with that unskippable ad on the DVD, you could still give that DVD to a friend to watch.
That said, though, like, with the exception of having to be on the internet every day, what's different between what Xbox One is doing and what the Apple Store does? Like, if your Apple Store account gets... Can your Apple Store account get banned?
I don't know.
If it does, do you lose all your apps?
Well, someone actually drew an even closer comparison, and that was with Steam, where, of course, you can't sell stuff. Now, this is problematic, and it's a good point, but I would say that Steam has always been like that.
Mm.
Right? From the beginning, it's always been like that, as far as I can remember. It's not like it suddenly changed. And also, they're software only. And I think that the idea of being able to resell software, it's a very challenging issue. If you don't have any kind of physical thing, if there's no dongle to go with it, I think it's a very challenging proposition.
Well, it's not unlike the thing we talked about, which is the Adobe Creative Cloud being now the only version of Adobe products, which came out today. So the new Creative Cloud products can be downloaded by anyone with a Creative Cloud account now.
Yeah.
And it's the same thing. It's not unlike the complaints people are making about that, which is that you basically, you know, once you if you stop paying them money every month, you can't use your apps anymore.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, I mean, it's legitimate, but there's a very good reason behind it in Adobe's case.
Yeah.
And, you know, you actually, the way they're changing actually benefits us as consumers. It doesn't just benefit them.
I'm in a slightly awkward place because I get the work at home thing. So I've got like most Adobe software already, but I haven't got all the stuff that I want. Like, I don't get After Effects with my work at home, and I don't get Premiere with my work at home. I get virtually everything other than those two. And I want those two. But if I get Creative Cloud, like, I think it's weird to just get those two apps.
Like, just make your work upgrade to Creative Cloud.
I think that it's probably going to happen. There have been murmurings about the changes that are going to happen as a result of the Creative Cloud stuff.
Because then you get everything.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess it'll happen. And then I will, you know, upgrade to it. And I'll be very happy. I really enjoy using After Effects. I'd like to do more, but You know, it's one of those, it's a software thing which, you know, it's intuitive enough.
Five.
But it's also something where you need to spend a lot of time using it to get any good.
Four.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Dylan.
Three.
Can you tell me more about this car that you've got?
Yeah, so it's one.
It's like a five-speed manual.
You're listening to the weekly show on of course.
All right, we're using that one.
That was actually, I liked that approach to reading the news. Just, I mean, literally only looking at the headline, because that is actually all I can see. I can only see the page type, the page titles, and that's only because I opened Tabs Outliner. Everything fell
apart.
You're
a sad world of tragic.
I am. I mean, everything was going so well for so long, and now everything's broken. So maybe I have to get a Mac Pro. Maybe I'm the guy that turns out to be what it's who it's for, and a different internet provider.
Just buy a fucking Mac Mini then.
I mean, I don't think Mac Minis are very good for video editing and so on, and I do actually do a bit of that.
No, they're pretty good. They're fine.
Are they? Can I get like a Core i7 with 16 gigs of RAM or 32 gigs of RAM or whatever the fuck I've got on this machine?
No.
Well, I mean, that seems like it's going to be a bit of a step down then, doesn't it?
No, keep your damn PC. Keep your Windows. Just don't buy any fucking Microsoft gaming products.
I'm not going
to. Aren't they doing a new Windows? Isn't it going to be like a Windows 8.1 that puts a lot of Windows 7 shit back in it?
Yep. I really want that different file copying stuff.
What's that?
Well, there's different file copying stuff in Windows 8. It looks quite good. It looks quite clever.
How?
Like it's smart somehow. Instead of, like, if you're copying a bunch of stuff from to multiple locations from, you know, a quite constrained, bottlenecked device, instead of trying to do them all at once and choking all of them, it cues them more sensibly.
Just install TerraCopy.
Well, I mean, all right. What does that do for me?
That.
Oh, all right. Well,
it replaces the Windows copying functionality, or it can do. So it does your drag and drop copying and all that stuff.
Right.
I use it all the time. You can also, you know, enable CRC verification and stuff on copying if you want to.
Oh, that sounds useful. I also I use Robocopy. I've got a Robocopy batch that does all my backups. Which probably sounds unbelievably unsophisticated to some people, but it works really well. It's really good. It's clean.
It's trying to get good rsync.
It does the copy verification thing, which is bloody handy.
So now I'm running OS 10 on my laptop, my Samsung laptop.
That's a bit strange. I thought you had a compact. You've got a Samsung. Did you get a new laptop?
A while ago.
Oh, okay. All right.
It's a Samsung, like RC70.
I mean, an HP, not a compact.
Yeah. Samsung RC720.
Yeah. That's such a beautiful name. RC? Is it RC? How RC is it? Does it smell RC?
Pretty RC.
Hey, I think my internet started working.
Yeah, typical.
Oh, no, I may have spoken too soon. I think it just loaded out of cache. Now my clicks are slow.
Oh, thank God, I can run Safari.
If it turns out that I'm just having a browser problem instead of an Orcon problem, I'm going to have a lot of apologies to make. But I don't see how a browser problem would cause my streaming issues and that they would go away just because I switched down to 360 or 380 or whatever it is.
Oh, what is this launchpad thing? Fuck.
I'm very sad having slow internet. It makes me extremely...
How do I turn launchpad off?
All right, do you want to do some news?
No.
All right. Thank you, listeners. I'm turning off the stream now because I need to have a piss.
Fish and chips. Fish and chips.
Sorry, the show is cancelled. Beep.